ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from 10th canto, chapter 9. Text 1 and 2. Number 2 is on the board, so I'll read text 1 and then we can recite text 2 together. Shri Suka Uvacha Ekada Brihadashishu Yashoda Nandagehini Karmantara Niyuktasu Nirmamanta Swayam Dadi. Text 2. Yani Yani Hagitani Tadbala Charitani Cha Dari Nirmantane Kale Smaranti Tanya Gayata. Shri Suka Uvacha. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, Ekada, one day, Grihadasishu, when all the maidservants of the household were otherwise engaged, Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, Nandagehini, the queen of Nanda Maharaj, Karma Antara, in other household affairs, Niyuktashu, being engaged, Nirmamanta, churned, Swayam, personally, Dadhi, the yogurt, Yani, all such, Yani, such, Iha, in this connection, Gitani, songs, Tatvala Charitani, in which the activities of her own child were enacted, Cha, and Dadi Nirmantane, while churning the yogurt, Kale, at that time, Smaranti, remembering, Tani, all of them, in the form of songs, Agayata, chanted. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Tukadeva Goswami continued, one day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshani of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the Deepavali day, or Deepamalika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally, Since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. While churning the butter, Mother Yasoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yasoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yasoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine. We're beginning now the ninth chapter. Of course, when Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit were conversing, there were no chapters, there were no cantos. It was a continuous stream of nectar. So in the previous chapter, Maharaj Pariksit, he was surprised how Mother Yasoda was able to receive so much special mercy from Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami began to explain the history of the previous life of Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, and how now they were born as Nanda and Yasoda in Gokul. But Maharaj Pariksit was not fully satisfied with what Sukadeva Goswami explained to him. So now, to show the most sublime pastime that takes place in Vatsalya Ras, just as in Madhurya Ras, we consider the sublime pastime to be the Rasa Lila. So in Vatsalya Ras, this Damodar Lila is considered the most sublime, the pinnacle of the essence of Vatsalya Ras, sneha for one's child. So this particular day, as Prabhupada and the Acharyas mentioned, it was Diwali. Diwali, we know, is a big festival here in India, the celebration of when Sita and Ram returned to Ayodhya. It's also the beginning of the new year. And the next day after Diwali is Indra Puja. So in Gokul, it was a double festival. They had to prepare everything for Diwali, plus they had to prepare in advance for Indra Puja, which we know was also a big festival because being agriculturalists, they depended on rain from Indra. So that day on Diwali, Upananda's wife had invited Rohini and Balaram to come to their house to celebrate with them. And Rohini, she had her maidservants and sakis. She asked that they help Yasoda on that day because there was a lot of extra work to do in the house. Yasoda, she was lying in bed with Krishna. It was Mangal Arati time. And she wanted to get started early. So she very carefully got out of the bed while Krishna was still sleeping. And she pushed the bed a little bit to see if he was going to wake up. He opened his eyes and then he rolled over and went back to sleep. So then she had what all mothers aspire for, vimukti. She was free. She was able to go do some service. So then she quickly went into where, you see, there's a whole process. Mother Yasoda was in a lot of anxiety because Krishna regularly, he would go and steal from other people's homes their yogurt, their makhan, their milk, and do all kinds of mischief. And she couldn't understand it because she was preparing as best she could everything in her own home, but he liked to go steal. So she decided, and this is the stubbornness of Vatsalya Ras, she decided, I'm not going to let anyone else make anything for Krishna. I'm going to do it all myself from the beginning of milking the cows. Now we know that Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. You can't even count 900,000. But out of those cows, there were 7 or 8 cows that were superlative. They gave the best milk. And Mother Yasoda kept those cows. They were called Padmagandha cows. Padmagandha because their milk, she fed them very fragrant grasses. Now there are 2 things that you feed a cow. One is grains. Grains is to increase the quantity of milk. And the other is greens, grass, chari, different things like that. And that's to improve the quality of the milk. So she would give these specially fragrant grasses to the Padmagandha cows, and therefore their milk smelled just like lotuses. So fragrant. And she, 7 or 8 cows, you get a lot of milk that way. She would go through the different pots of milk and pick out the best pots of milk, and that's what she had on the stove boiling. She was going to boil it, she was going to make it, let it cool down, make it into yogurt, and then churn the yogurt. So she had already done that the day before, the yogurt was ready from the day before, and she wanted to immediately start churning the yogurt. Because if she had her dasis do it, sometimes they burn the milk, they're not so cautious, they're not so conscious when they're churning. So she did it all herself completely. So she sat down to start churning the yogurt. And naturally, a devotee, they like to engage all of their senses in Krishna's service. So as her hands and her body were busy churning, she started to sing. And she would make up little songs about Krishna's pastimes. Now some songs her friends had made up, the Sakis, about what the mischief he did in their house. Some songs, they're from the Magadhas, the Sutas, that's the professional singers. But that day, she was making up her own songs about her little child. So from the sound of the matka, the churning, and her singing, Krishna woke up. When he woke up, he said, where's my mother? I want to drink milk. It's the first thing the children want to do when they wake up. And he heard her, so he got out of bed, and he went over to her. He was false tears, you know, he was crying. And she was busy. She was singing, and the matan sound, she didn't hear him coming from behind her. So he makes a sound, and she says to him, just wait a minute, I'm busy, I'm churning. But he didn't like that, so he grabbed her by the waist to get her attention. She said, just wait a little longer. No, he wasn't going to wait. He was big enough now. So what he did was he went to the front, and with his hands, he grabbed the churning rod to stop it. He put a brake on it. He jammed it. And then when he stopped it, with his own strength, he grabbed onto that churning rod, he put his foot onto the rim, the bottom of the pot, he grabbed onto his mother and climbed onto her lap all by himself. She didn't pick him up. And then he picked up her sari and he started to drink, all with his own strength. He was feeling very proud of himself. And his mother was also proud of him that he had so much, he could do it all by himself now. So he was drinking, and she was feeding her milk. Now this sneha, milk comes from sneha. Her sneha was so strong, she never ran out of milk for Krishna. And his love for her was so strong, he never wanted to stop drinking. So it was a competition between the mother and the son. When was he going to be satisfied? And how much milk was Mother Yasoda going to be able to give? So he was happy, smiling, drinking. She was happy, feeding him her milk. And this is a special, we know Krishna is Atmarama, he's Purnakam, but he wanted his mother's milk, Kam. So suddenly, the milk that she had put on the stove to make the yogurt, everything in Golok is conscious. So that milk saw Krishna was drinking and drinking and drinking, and the milk became depressed that if Krishna drinks all of Mother Yasoda's milk, he won't want to drink me. My life is useless. I'm going to do atmatyag, give up my life, right in front of Mother Yasoda so she knows how sad I am. So then he boiled over and went into the fire. He was thinking, I do so much tapasya, getting boiled by this heat, and he's not even going to drink me. What is the use of my life? So the milk started to boil over and go into the fire, and we know when it boils over, it goes in the fire, it gets a hissing sound, makes a smell. So Mother Yasoda, she had to get this milk ready for the yogurt for Krishna. She immediately picked up Krishna, put him on the ground, and ran to take the milk off of the chula. So Krishna's sitting there on the ground, and from calm, we know, comes crowed. He got so angry. He said, I've come all the way from Vaikuntha, and she puts me on the ground. So then he starts to false tears, and when you get angry, especially a little child, you bite your lips, and you get angry, you want to start breaking things. So he said to himself, I'm going to destroy this whole house. I'm going to die of hunger in this house. So then he decided, what was he going to do? What was he going to break? So we know in the kitchens, they have a sealed butta. And sealed butta, like when we grind the chandan, that's a sealed butta. There's a big stone on the bottom. And on the top, there's a triangle stone. So he picked up that butta. And he aimed it in a special way. Because if you break a pot on the top, because there's air, it makes a sound. So he aimed it for the bottom of the pot. So that when the pot broke, there wouldn't be any sound. So he broke that pot with the butta, and because she was making yogurt. When you make yogurt, you don't just, makan. You have to add water to the yogurt to make it thin, because then when there's water, the oil, which is the makan, raises to the top when you're churning. You'll see, anytime you put water and oil together, the oil will always flow to the top because it's lighter than the water. So what was in the pot was very watery. So when he broke it, it went all over the whole room, that water and the yogurt. So he had done enough mischief. He knew he was going to get in trouble because sooner or later Mother Yasoda would come back. So he decides, I'm dying of hunger. My mother left me. I'm going to go to another house. So he goes into another room, and there he sees the Utkala, who's standing upside down, and makan hanging from the swing. So he decides he's going to eat that makan. He climbs up on the Utkala, takes the makan, and because it was Diwali, he remembered that at that time, I didn't get to feed all the monkeys, and they had helped me so much. Today I'm going to feed the monkeys. So he started, and we know monkeys are everywhere as soon as the door is open. So the monkeys came in, he started feeding to the monkeys. The crows came in, he started feeding to the crows. But at the same time, we had calm, then we had crowed, now we have lobe. He goes and he starts eating the makan. He's eating the makan, and he's feeding it to the monkeys, but he knows his mother's going to come. So then comes Boy. He becomes afraid, and just like a thief, he starts looking around. His eyes are just like a thief's eyes, looking this way and that way. When's she going to come and catch me? So Mother Yasoda, after she took the milk off of the stove, she comes back to the dahi pot, and she sees what Krishna has done. And she starts to laugh. She wasn't angry. She was laughing because she knows his nature. So she has to go look for him. She knows now's the time because she never chastised him before this. The mothers would come from the other houses, tell her about all the things he had done in their house, and she called them liars. She said, my son could never do anything like that. He never did it in her house before. He would go outside. This time, he did the mischief in her house. So this time, she decided, I have to chastise this boy. I have to train him. That's my responsibility. So she picked up a little bamboo stick, and very softly, she went looking for him. Because the yogurt was all over the floor, she could follow his footprints into the next room. So she sees the footprints, and she sees him standing on the utkala, feeding the makan to the monkeys, looking all around for her. And when he sees her, he's so scared, he jumps off of the utkala, he runs out of the room, and of course they're still in Nanda Maharaj's house, he runs out of the gate. Now, Mother Yasoda, she's right behind him with the stick. And she had been working, she had been churning, taking care of the milk, looking for him. She goes running after him. And he runs very, very fast, and she's trying to catch up with him. So long as he doesn't look backwards, he can run fast. But because he was going in all the gullies, seeing if she could find him, because it's a whole neighborhood there, different roads and houses. So he looks behind to see if Mother Yasoda is behind him. When he looks behind, he slows down and she grabs him. She grabs him on his right arm. So he's crying and she has a stick in her hand and he's so afraid she's going to beat him. And she sees him in this condition with his left hand, he's rubbing his eyes, mascara is going, oh, cudgels going everywhere. So she realizes, this boy might have trauma if he thinks that I'm going to beat him. I better put the stick down. She throws the stick away. And she said, you're just like the monkeys. Yet they steal, you steal. I'm going to tie you up so you can't steal anymore and you won't be able to play with your friends and you can't feed the monkeys anymore. So Krishna, he said, well, if I'm just like the monkeys, I'm going to go live with the monkeys in the forest. So she said, I have to tie him up. Otherwise, he might leave, and I have to go take care of all the yogurt that he spilled. I have a lot of housework to do today. So then she took, you know, the women, they have these strings in their hair, they tie them up. She took the string from her hair, it's not very strong, and tied it around his waist. And she ties it around his waist, but then she has to tie him, she brings him into the courtyard, she has to tie him to the utkala, so that he won't get away because it's heavy. So she didn't have enough rope for that. So all the ropes in her house, she was calling the dasis, bring the ropes, all the ropes she uses, trying to tie this little string to the matka, to the utkala, and every time she tries to tie it, it's 2 inches too short. Those 2 inches, Krishna, he could have let her tie him up right away, but he was waiting. She was perspiring. She had forgotten all about herself. She was determined to tie him up. And all this parishrama, Krishna, he said, she's working so hard. She had to chase after me. Now she's trying to tie me up. He started to feel mercy for her. He felt sorry for her. She was sweating so much that she was even getting Krishna wet with her sweat. So then Krishna, he decides, out of love, that I'll let my mother tie me up. So then finally, she's able to tie him, and she wasn't going to go away for a long time, just long enough to clean up the mess. She went into the house and she told all the little boys there, you watch him, make sure he doesn't go anywhere. So Krishna, we know in the last pastime that when Mother Yasoda looked in his mouth, within his mouth, in his belly, was the entire universe. So that means when Mother Yasoda bound him with her little string, She not only bound Krishna, but she bound the entire universe. And this is the control that the devotees have over Krishna. He allowed himself to be tied up. And that pastime is so sweet that for 1 month out of the year, we do arti to Krishna, being tied up with Mother Yasoda, stick in her hand, and he's crying. And 1 month we meditate on that beautiful pastime of Krishna when he allows his mother to tie him up. So these 2 inches represent the parishram, the intense labor that Mother Yasoda executed to tie up her son to correct him, and the mercy that Krishna gave her, allowing her to tie him up. So these pastimes, this pastime was told at this time by Sukadeva Goswami to reveal to Parikshit Maharaj the special mercy and the special love that Krishna has for his devotees, and the special sneha that the devotees have for the Supreme Lord. All devotees, devotees means bhakta. Bhakta means they perform bhakti. And there are different gradations of bhakti. We might come to the temple and pray to the Lord for so many things. That's a form of bhakti. We might pray that the Lord becomes our son, our lover, our friend. We want something. We want a relationship with him. But Mother Yasoda, she was only thinking how to protect her child, how to feed him, nothing for herself whatsoever. She was only thinking of her son. And she engaged all of her words, actions, and thoughts in serving him. No thoughts of herself. And with that type of moha, it's a form of moha, because she was thinking, Krishna is my son, just like when he showed the universe to Mother Yasoda. She says, hey Narayan, what are you showing in my son? She completely gave this all over to Narayan, that he was doing something to her little son. So there are two types of moha. One is the moha in this material world, where we're thinking, I am this body, this is my family, this is my village, this is my country, I have so many responsibilities. Now that type of moha is in relationship to the deha, to our temporary material body. But then there's a moha in the spiritual world. And that moha is with the nitya parshada. Because in the spiritual world, there are also families, their sons, their mothers, their fathers. But that is an eternal relationship that goes on in bliss. And that is all centered around the relationship we have with Krishna. We have our family there. We have our friends. We have our children. We have our husbands, our wives. Everything is there. But it's eternal and it's ever blissful. And the way we come under that moha is completely dedicating all of our words, deeds, and thoughts in Krishna's service. Because then Krishna becomes attracted to our love. And that way we get his special mercy. Now of all of Krishna's different energies, his Kripa Shakti is the most supreme. It's called the Maharani of all the Shaktis. Because when he sees his devotees working very hard to please him, he then gives his mercy. Therefore, whatever we're doing, if we're chanting our japa, we should chant until our tongue is tired. If we're going on parikrama, go on parikrama till our legs are tired. Any service we're doing, we should put our full energy into that service. As much energy as we put in, Krishna will give his mercy to us. So this is the lesson that Sukadeva Goswami is showing to Maharaj Parikshit, that the endeavor that Mother Yasoda gave to correct her son, to protect her son, to raise her son. She received so much love from Krishna in exchange. It's tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. It's when Krishna sees that we're trying to apply everything in his service, he then gives us the intelligence how to serve him better. So in our own lives, although none of us, no one can ever become Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, any of the Nitya Parishad of Krishna, we can become the assistants of these eternal associates. Just as Mother Yasoda had so many assistants, because in village life, we don't have mixies, there was no electricity. The women are very busy in all of their household activities. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when the women work very hard, churning the yogurt, grinding the grains, milking the cows, they're working so hard that they stay healthy. Their bodies are always healthy. And they're using their tongues, just as Mother Yasoda is doing here, yani yani. It's lilatma gan. They're singing the glories of Krishna. Now, if we don't know any of these beautiful songs, like if you go into the villages here, most of the women are illiterate, but they know so many beautiful songs about Krishna. And when they're doing their work, grinding, churning, they're singing these songs about Krishna, and they teach their children the songs also. So if we don't know these songs, we have the songs of the Acharyas, Yasomati Nandana, so many beautiful songs, Jai Radha Madhava. And if we don't even know those songs, we all have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we can sing as we're doing our service. We can work very hard. We can think of Krishna and think of our particular ways that we want to serve Krishna. And in that way, Krishna will be attracted to our love and our service for him. And he'll give us that special mercy by which we can come to him. So this is our responsibility. As much as we put into our service, working very hard, sweating, just as Mother Yasoda did. We have lots of opportunity to sweat in this season for Krishna. So now in this season, the hot season is almost ending. We had our first monsoon 2 days ago. Now we're going to have the heat plus the humidity. So this is a great test for the devotees. That are we going to stay here and continue in our service for Krishna despite the inconveniences? Even the Brij Basis, this is Ananda Vrindavan Champu, when they would hear the word summer, they would shake in fear because of the heat. But they never gave up their services. They had to serve the cows. They had to do so many services here for Krishna. So they continued in every single season in their service. So we've come here now to Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says, buy a one-way ticket to Vrindavan. Prabhupada wanted the devotees to become Brij Basis. This is the embassy of the spiritual world. This is where we get our visa so that we can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. We've come here. We should all work very, very hard for Krishna. Whatever we're doing, let that sweat come. Because Krishna, he sees that. He sees we're working hard, and then he gives that special mercy by which we can come to him. So we should meditate. Mother Yasoda, she's the queen of Braja. She's Nandagahini. Nanda Maharaj is the king, she's the queen. And everyone is assisting her in serving Krishna. The gopis, the elder gopis, the younger gopis, when Radharani saw that Mother Yasoda was able to bind up Krishna, she got the idea that I also want to bind up Krishna. So everyone is learning from Mother Yasoda how to serve Krishna. Mother Yasoda would have Radharani come to cook every day. Radharani could have never had that opportunity had not Yasoda made the arrangements. So we're so fortunate to hear these pastimes. And these are the first pastimes that Sukadev Goswami describes to Parikshit Maharaj. From here, we'll gradually enter, as Krishna grows, into the Sakyalila Ras, Sakyaras Lila, when he starts to play with his friends. He goes out to the Gocharan, herding the cows all day with his friends. He comes back. They want Krishna to wear shoes. They offer him leather shoes, just like the cowherd men you'll see here. They have to have leather shoes, because otherwise the kanta go into the there's no plastic in Goloka Vrindavan, fortunately. So they have to wear leather shoes, and Krishna refuses them. He won't wear the leather shoes. So what the cows do is, Mother Earth, she arranges that the cows, with their hooves, they break up all of the stones and everything, make everything into powdery dust, so that Krishna, when Krishna goes out, he doesn't hurt his feet. But when he comes back, he complains to Mother Yasoda, "Oh, Mom, my feet are hurting so much." And Balaram, he's such a rascal. He sits there and he makes me herd up all the cows to bring them home. So these cowherd pastimes, they are eternal. There's something new going on every single day. And as we meditate on these pastimes, Krishna gives us a slight entrance into what we'll be doing there, who our friends will be, where our residence will be. And this all comes from within the heart. This is the special mercy of the Guru. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to hear anything other than what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And he's given us all of the Acharya's books. He wants us to read the Acharya's books along with his books. You'll read in his purports. We must read the Acharya's books. He's given no restriction, but he wants us to attend his sadhana program, so that within that sadhana, and that sadhana program is exactly what's going on in the spiritual world. After Krishna herds the cows, he doesn't herd the cows in the morning, he goes to the Goshala in Borokar, which is just near Nandagram, and he helps to milk the cows before he takes bath. Then he comes back, he takes his bath, he's fed, and then there's a recitation of Krishna's pastimes before he goes out. So that's just like our Srimad Bhagavatam class. Then he goes out to herd the cows all day. He comes back. In the evening also there's recitation. That's our Bhagavad Gita classes. So all of the things that we're experiencing in what we now consider to be Vaidhi Bhakti, that will mature into the exact activities that are going on to the spiritual world. We just have to have faith and patience and conviction and enthusiasm to go on with these activities. If we've done these things for 50 years, that means we're 50 years closer to entering into the spiritual world. We never think, well, I've done this for 20 years now, let me take a break. I need a vacation. No, there's no vacation in the spiritual world. Every day, everyone is serving Krishna with his activities. When you serve cows, you can't take a vacation. The cows are giving milk every morning, every evening. You have to milk the cows. That means there's milk. You have to take care of the milk, boil it, churn it, make it into ghee. Then you have to go sell the extra products because there's 900,000 cows. Can you imagine how much milk there is? So then you have to go to the marketplace, and so many pastimes, that's the Dhanakeli Lila, all these pastimes, the entire community is absorbed in this go-seva and taking care of the cows and the milk and feeding Krishna. So when we hear about these things, we develop a taste for this type of life. And gradually, we have our Goshala, over 400 cows. We can enter into those pastimes, into those services, right in this lifetime. Whether we're in the house of Krishna feeding him, whether we're at the Goshala taking care of the cows, whatever our services are, this is a preparation for entering into the spiritual world. So we have to remove that covering to think that now I'm in the material world, I have to die and go to the spiritual world. It's nothing like that. You can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime by your words, your actions, and your thoughts. If you're fully absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, then you're back to Godhead. You're doing all the same things that you're going to be doing when you're in the spiritual world. When we're feeding Krishna Rajbhog, when we're cooking for him, when we're cleaning his temple, this is Krishna's house. It's just like Nanda Bhavan. Even in some sampradayas, they don't call it the temple. They call it Nanda Bhavan, Nanda Haveli, because they know that Krishna's living in the house, and they see everything as just like in a house, taking care of Krishna, making sure when you bathe him, the water is warm, making sure you feed him what he likes. Now, what does he like to eat in the morning? Have you ever read in any shastra that he eats dry fruits in the morning? Anywhere? No, what does he eat in the morning? He eats makkhan, milk, so many sweets and grains. So all these things we have to get ready for him. And we have to grow the grains, we have to husk the grains, we have to grind the grains. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of devotees. And these are the types of services that we should be looking for. Self-sufficiency. Prabhupada, he tried many, many times in many different farms to establish self-sufficiency. But because the devotees, they came from the cities, they weren't, you just go, you buy a liter of milk, and what's the problem? No, to get that liter of milk, you have to do so much in the village. Or you go buy your atta already ground. No, you have to grow the atta, all those things have to be done when you live in a village. So this is the life we're aiming for, this Goloka life. No machines, no electricity. When we first came here, electricity came to Vrindavan in 1965. So we would cook for Prabhupada at Radha Damodar. There was no electricity, there was no running water. There was a well. We had to go bring the well, we had to make the fire with the gober patties, the smoke, everything, just like in, because no electricity, you have to do everything yourself. So this was the life that we partially got to experience while serving Prabhupada here in Vrindavan. We had no mixies. We had the chulas, we had to cook on the chulas. That means you had to break up the coal, different things like that. So we had a taste, a little bit, of what Goloka life was like when we served Prabhupada here. Now there's so many amenities, so many conveniences, but in Goloka Vrindavan, you don't have those things. You have to learn how to live as the Brijbasis live. And this is a good time to start practicing. We have our farms now, where we're growing our own food. The women, they can be kept busy. They're grinding stones. We learn how to grind like this. We can be churning our own yogurt. And in that way, none of the women will get sick. They won't have time to gossip if they're engaged in all of these household activities. The men could be working hard with the cows, growing the food. So this is real Vrindavan life. And now that we've come to Vrindavan, we should aspire for that life. We should work hard while we're here in Vrindavan and try to set up the self-sufficiency that Prabhupada wanted in all of his temples. Now, where does the preaching come in? Yes, the preaching comes in because even Nanda Maharaj and all of the associates of Nanda Maharaj, they would sit and listen to all of the great activities of Krishna and the kings and everything like that. They would attend classes just like we do. Now, perhaps there weren't books as we have nowadays printed, but there were great, very learned Brahmins who knew all of these things by heart, and they would recite. We have to study and listen, and we don't have the brains that they had in those days. So it's a little bit different, but it's the exact same format of living in the spiritual world, of hearing these pastimes, of speaking these pastimes. The Brahmins, they speak, and the Vaishyas, they listen. because they're busy working hard all day. They don't have time to study. When Krishna and Balaram, after this pastime, when Nanda Maharaj picked up Krishna, how did this happen? When he caught him, you saw him all tied up, and Krishna wouldn't go back to Mother Yasoda. So Nanda Maharaj took Krishna in his lap, and he started to teach Balaram and Krishna how to write letters for the first time. They teach them in the sand, starting out. You make the sand soft, and with a stick, you write the ka, ka, ga, ga, and then like that. So they didn't have the schools that we have. They would teach like that. So all of these things are going on in the spiritual world, and we have to aspire to enter in and take up some service as the Brijbasis are doing. Go Seva, Krishi, Goraksha, Brahminical Seva, whatever our inclinations are. And even the Sudras, they had, when Mother Yasoda, when Putana had to be cut up, they called the lower class people to cut up her body and burn it. So they're all types of people living in the spiritual world, doing different types of service. People that have to bring the water, people that have to make the baskets. And whatever service we can do to help the king and queen, Nanda and Yashoda, to serve Krishna with love, with their sneha, that we should aspire for and work very hard for. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? No question? Yes, Prabhuji. Here's our hardest worker, temple president.
In the material world, everyone tries to identify with some I'm a doctor, a scientist, I'm a carpenter, a butcher, this or that. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we know that it's not on the dharma or the chakra environment. There's intellectuals and there's administrators and all these. So how do we know, you know, what is right for us? Sometimes people, they look their whole life for a profession. So do we look to be a puchari or a cook or a driver or, you know, administration? Should we have desires to find occupation within Krishna consciousness, or is just hearing and chanting and eating nice prasad and not worrying about what to do?
You already have your eternal form and your eternal service that's now covered by your material body. That Prabhupada will tell you from within your heart. I'm not your guru. But as we work hard and we get rid of our material body and it spiritualizes by eating prasadam, that natural swarup siddhi will manifest within our mind and our body will become more and more purified. And you will naturally want to do the particular service that you were created to do by Krishna. He created you for a specific purpose. And that'll all be manifested to you as you please your spiritual master with your service. I forget her exact name. She was the wife of Parjanya Maharaj. I can tell you her name after class. It's in Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika.
Yeah.
He had two grandmothers.
Yes.
One was Patala. That's the mother of Sumukha, the wife of Sumukha. I forget the name of Parjanya Maharaj's wife. Yeah, it's in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika. You can look it up on the internet.
Okay.
Gopal, he's fully absorbed day and night in his Gopal Dasi. All day long decorating his deity. He's there already. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.